All right. Well, Mark Totten is with us. He is the federal prosecutor for our part of the state, the Upper Peninsula, western part of Lower Peninsula. And good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. Now, you are in your swan song mode here. Why?
Yeah, that's right. So I was appointed by the president, confirmed by the U.S. Senate, took office in May of 2022. And the tradition is that, you know, when there's a change in administration, that the existing U.S. attorney would step down. And so that's the process we're going through right now.
Hmm. Now, is it required or could you stay on?
You know, I think if you kind of look at what's happened in the past, it's not strictly required, but at some point the new administration would then ask the remaining U.S. attorneys to resign. And so we just decided to do this in a little more orderly manner and that I would just announce my departure and do it with the change in administration.
Okay. Well, that's fair enough. We look back at, though, the time that you were there, and here in the Upper Peninsula, you are arguably most well known for your prosecution of the Agassi brothers and the horrible thing that happened with Jordan DeMay here in Marquette. Talk with me about that case. It seems like it became kind of personal for you.
You know, I had the ability and the opportunity, the privilege really, to sit down with the family early on and to kind of hear their story and really hear from them about what they wanted to see happen with this case at the right time. In particular, they made clear that, you know, they wanted to use this horrible situation to help educate other parents and young people about the threats out there. And so, you know, we very much share that concern. We want to use this case to help educate people about what's the threats that are online. And so we did that. And, you know, I think the case was remarkable in a few respects. One, it really has been at the forefront of what I think has become a national conversation about the emerging threat of sextortion. This crime was not on the radar 5 years ago. And now, as I announced recently, we're investigating multiple suicides related to sextortion across the state. The other thing I think this case did is it set really a benchmark for how to investigate and prosecute the case. The FBI was the investigative lead here. They did absolutely amazing work, relentlessly chasing down the evidence and building the case for us. And, you know, we've had a law enforcement all over, prosecutors and others look to us for how to go about handling these cases that, you know, sometimes reach halfway around the world.
How remarkable is it to have and groundbreaking to have this kind of cooperation with the Nigerian officials? This wouldn't have happened really probably without their cooperation, right?
I was briefed on this case my first day in office when it was not yet public. And my first thought was just a sense of dismay that it just was hard to see that this was going to go anywhere because of where the victim or where the criminals were. And, you know, the Nigerians were incredible partners in this effort. Nigerian law enforcement officials, they participated in the investigation and, they were as committed to justice as everyone was on this side of the Atlantic. And so together we were able to build this case, and this case represents the first successful extradition and prosecution, at least as to two defendants at this point. The case is ongoing, but the first one of its kind for sextortionists coming out of Nigeria that's ever happened in the United States. And that's a big deal, and the Nigerians were a significant part of that.
Mark, what do you think the deterrent factor might be? You're going to have criminals that are going to do things that criminals do, but in this case, maybe someone will think twice. And you also had big tech helping you. Meta was involved in the investigation, and that might be something that's groundbreaking as well.
You know, the deterrence piece is really important here. I think prior to where we are right now, there was a sense in Nigeria that you could rake in money all day long and never be held accountable for these crimes. And I think that has changed. The Nigerian law enforcement officials who accompanied the extradited defendants here in the United States, we had the opportunity to sit down. They told us that, you know, this case has been plastered all over the media. I see my name pop up in Nigerian newspapers quite regularly. And so I think this case is helping shift that sense of immunity that many criminals there felt, and it's showing that there can and will be accountability for these crimes.
You mentioned the case is ongoing, so there are, I know you had the money side of it on the part of some Americans who are have charges pending as well. Are there other defendants you think may have been involved in this besides those two brothers?
So there's a few pieces here. We have sought the extradition of three defendants. Two of them were extradited and arrived to face justice here in the United States. They've been convicted and sentenced. There is one other who is, we are awaiting extradition. We're still optimistic it will happen. The process in the Nigerian courts is running through. And so, you know, that case is ongoing. And then, as you mentioned, we have five defendants who we have charged with money laundering related to this scheme. You know, I'll be quick to say that all of these unconvicted defendants are innocent until proven guilty. That's our job to do, but we're prepared to make our case.
And so you're, whoever takes over for you will pick that up seamlessly. There's no concern on your part that these things will not continue once you're out of office next week?
No, I have every confidence this case will continue. The line attorneys that are doing the heavy lifting here are staying in the office and are very committed to this work.
Now, this Jordan DeMay case, of course, is the biggest for us, you know, locally here. But there were some others that you prosecuted in the last year. One dealing with hate crimes and anti-Semitism, and people may think that the federal government doesn't really care about a little mosque or a little a synagogue in Hancock, Michigan, or something like that. But yeah, the office was committed to that too during your tenure.
Yeah, that's a really important part of our work. In fact, it shows up in our mission statement, which is to uphold the rule of law, keep the district safe, and protect civil rights. And it's that last piece that I think the case you're mentioning represents. This case was against Nathan Whedon. He grew up in the Ann Arbor area. He's a student at Michigan Tech, had stayed up there, and was a member of a white supremacist group called The Base. Plotting with others, he one night went out and painted neo-Nazi symbols on Temple Jacob there in Hancock, just across the channel there. And we were able to charge him. The case went to trial, actually, which most cases don't. This one did. I was up there for the trial, and a group of jurors, randomly drawn from across the Upper Peninsula, came back very quickly and determined that Nathan Whedon was guilty of the hate crime which we charged him with, and was really proud to see that outcome. And I think it's important, sends an important message all across Michigan that we're not going to tolerate those types of crimes.
Deterrent factor again in that case too, Mark?
I certainly hope so. I mean, in all our cases, you know, one of the goals we have, you know, we are trying to seek justice in that particular case, but we are also trying to send a much larger message to, you know, would-be criminals that this is what happens when you engage in this criminal activity, and that is certainly the case with hate crimes.
I've mentioned the two big ones for our area here, but I'll ask you to reflect on your time and what you feel are some of the successes your office had, not just you personally. You mentioned all of the people that work and do the heavy lifting on these investigations, but what are some things that you'll take from your time as the federal prosecutor for our area?
There's a few things I'll mention. Certainly there were other really important cases. There was a case that wrapped up called the Smith case that I think had 9 or 10 defendants. It involved a pipeline of drugs from Detroit to the Upper Peninsula. And I was really proud of that work. That's really how we try to use our drug authorities, is to go after those pipelines that are bringing drugs into the UP. We had conviction and sentencing of John Allen, who had planted bombs, at explosives, homemade explosives, at a cell phone store in Sault Ste. Marie. And I guess I'll also just mention the work we did around community engagement. You know, I made a commitment when I started that I was going to visit all 49 counties in our district, which is all the UP, the western half of the Lower Peninsula. And I met that goal in December of 2023. Many of the counties I visited multiple times. I think I had probably 5 or 6 trips over the past 3 years, 6 or 7 maybe, up to the Upper Peninsula to meet with the tribes, to meet with, visit all the counties. We, of course, have an office in Marquette. I sent a notice out to my colleagues in law enforcement last week, just letting them know that I was going to depart. And one of the sheriffs in the UP, kind of in the western part, wrote me and said, "You know, I've been doing this for years, and I've never met a U.S. attorney before, and you showed up and sat down and talked with us." And that just meant a ton. You know, that's a real goal of mine. I want to listen. I want to understand the needs on the ground, and I want to build those relationships because we're all trying to do the same thing. We got to work together, and we want to be there to support when we can.
So what's next for you?
So I've spent the last 6 or 7 years in public service, you know, wrapping up in this role. Previously, I was in state government serving as an attorney, and been a lot of intense moments. I'm looking forward to having a little bit of a downtime, relaxing with my family, and then I'm going to figure out what's next, and we'll see.
All right, Mark, any last thing you'd like to say to the people of the Upper Peninsula who you have served for the last 4 years?
I just want to express deep gratitude. All of our elected county sheriffs, our county prosecutors, our chiefs of police, all our federal law enforcement partners across the Upper Peninsula have been just tremendous partners, and I've been so grateful for the relationships I've built and the many, many ways we've worked together to protect the folks of the Upper Peninsula.
Well, we appreciate the work you did in particular on the Jordan DeMay case. That one's very personal for a lot of people in my listening audience here in Marquette. So you worked tirelessly on that, and I know Sheriff is happy with the work that you did to help him out and vice versa. So we can say appreciative things to you on that as well.
For sure. Thank you so much for your time and for speaking with me.
Mark Totten, the U.S. Attorney for the Western District of Michigan. Thanks again, and good luck to you in the future, sir.
Yep. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.